This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Bill Flores. He represents the Lone Star State's 17th Congressional District. He defeated longtime incumbent Democrat Chet Edwards in November's midterm elections. He's also a member of the Budget Committee. And in the private sector, before running for Congress, he was chief financial officer for a major energy company. And so he brings a lot of experience to the job as he and his Republican colleagues, as well as all members of Congress, deal with our massive debt and try to put the best budget forward. As he and his colleagues deal with the current budget and try to figure out what to do with the next budget in the wake of the president's proposal earlier in the week. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you today, Greg.
Well, it's been a couple of years, I would guess. I'm sure one of the reasons that you ran for Congress was what you saw as mistakes with the stimulus plan and with the health care plan. And so it all now comes to a head with this budget debate and what to do with potential spending cuts in the current fiscal year. What do you see as the general Republican strategy in dealing with all this?
Well, we have three big votes coming up, and you're going to see us execute our strategy in the near term through those three votes. We've got the continuing resolution, which is required to fund the government, passed March the 4th. Then you've got the House version of the congressional budget that we'll be working on starting next week. And then after that, you've got a debt ceiling vote on the debt ceiling increase that will come up later on in the second quarter, probably. So, and when we use those three tools, what we hope to come up with is a path to fiscal soundness for the federal government, and to address the spending issues we have, the taxing issues that we've got, and certainly to begin borrowing a lot less money than we borrow today.
What, if anything, surprised you most about the state of our current fiscal health between what you understood on the campaign trail and what you've learned since taking office?
Well, it's interesting you use the word surprise, because I've had two surprises since I've been sworn in, and one of those is that our financial position is much, much worse than I thought it was when I was actually campaigning. I knew that it was bad when I was campaigning, but the country is in a lot more precarious position than I ever dreamed. If you look at a broad measure of our fiscal position, which is called the fiscal gap, it's basically a measure of taking the present values of all future revenues and the present value of all future expenses. The fiscal gap is over $200 trillion, and that's a legacy that we cannot leave to our children and our grandchildren.
What experience from the private sector are you encouraging Congress to follow as it tries to right the ship here?
Well, let me give you a couple of definitions that I heard yesterday when we had a hearing with OMB Director Liu. The OMB has these two terms. One is called sustainable deficits, and the second term is called primary balance. And primary balance is defined as that the budget is in balance if you have a deficit of around 3% of GDP. I asked Director Liu, I said, how far can most businesses and most families operate using that same methodology, and he agreed with me that you can't operate that way. So what you're going to see us do is develop a budget protocol where we get the budget in balance so that we can begin paying down our debt for the benefit of our kids and grandkids.
We're talking with Texas Republican Congressman Bill Flores, representing his state's 17th district. He's a member of the House Budget Committee, as he just referenced. As you also referenced earlier, Congressman, debates going forward on proposed Republican spending cuts for the current fiscal year. And I'd want you to listen to one of the comments that Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi used on the floor on Tuesday, and get your response to it. Here's what she said.
Okay. And is it a statement of our values to deprive women of primary care? When it comes to health and education, Republicans put women and children last.
Any quick study of politics knows that anytime there's a spending debate, that's not exactly an uncommon argument from Democrats. What do you tell those who are concerned that she might be right?
Well, here's what the situation is. We've got to look at the big picture, and that is, what kind of a country do we want to leave for our kids and grandkids? If we want to leave them a bankrupt nation, then we can keep going the direction that we're going. If we want to leave them with the same types of opportunities that we all had when we were young, then we will address the fiscal situation of this country. The Democrats are rolling out poster children, if you will, for every sort of a cut that is going to be considered. But in some cases, these cuts are only rolling the spending back to 2008 levels. They're not rolling them down to zero, except for certain agencies that are going the wrong direction in terms of the way money's spent. So I would say we've got to stay focused on what our objective is here, and that's to leave a fiscally sound country that has great opportunities for future generations of Americans.
We've heard from your chairman of the Budget Committee, Paul Ryan, as well as John Boehner and some others, that the Republican alternative to the president's budget, which we'll talk about in just a second here, will be coming out probably in a number of weeks, maybe sometime in April. What ideas specifically will you be pushing hardest to include in that budget proposal?
Well, we'll be looking to include where we need to get to is that we need to have spending and revenues be at a level equal to about 18% of GDP. Because over the long run, no matter what the marginal tax rate is, revenues into the federal government always average around 18 to 18.3% of GDP. So we need to target, since that's going to be the revenue that's coming in, we need to target our expenditures to be at that same level. And then we need to go through and figure out, what are the core functions of the federal government? One is defense, and defense probably ought to be around 4% of GDP. And that leaves you about 14% to spend on everything else. And so we need to find a way to take discretionary spending and entitlement spending and put it all in that 14% of GDP. The president's budget today spends around 23% of GDP versus 18, which is a long-term target. And we can't do that. We cannot afford that. And we can't afford to leave that debt to our children and our grandchildren.
What were you expecting in the president's budget that didn't show up? It seems like just about every Republican is sorely disappointed that he didn't get more specific and didn't get tougher on spending. What were you hoping for that didn't happen?
Well, I was hoping that he would show some leadership, just to talk about it on a 50,000-foot level. And leadership is you address the issues that are bankrupting the country. Entitlements are a problem. Discretionary spending is 30% higher than it was back in 2008, before we were in pre-stimulus environment. And he showed no leadership on any of those things. He showed no leadership on reducing the trillion-dollar deficits as we go forward. I was very disappointed.
In terms of one of the things that's in the news right now, is at least among the talking heads, is that there's going to be a massive game of chicken between the White House and House Republicans over which one will be first to actually propose specific reforms and spending reductions when it comes to entitlements. What can you tell us about what Republicans are planning to include in the budget and whether or not there really is a game of chicken going on here?
Well, I don't know that I'd call it a game of chicken. Since the president didn't show any leadership, somebody's got to. And so you're going to see the Republicans in the House of Representatives step up and show leadership to get the country out of the financial morass that it's in and to begin putting us on a new path of prosperity and opportunity for future generations.
Last question before we let you go. I mentioned before your energy background. The president's got a pretty strong moratorium going on right now in terms of Gulf exploration for oil and natural gas. What's your sense on what our energy policy ought to be?
Well, again, the president's going the wrong directions. High gasoline prices are a tax on the people that can afford it the least. And we need to have an all-of-the-above energy approach. And that means using the hydrocarbons that we have within our own borders today and accelerating the drilling for oil and gas versus making it more difficult to do so. We need to have the equivalent of a Manhattan Project so that we can build more nuclear power plants as quickly as we can. If people are worried about their carbon footprint, nuclear power plants are the way to go. We need to use natural gas as a bridge fuel to get us to the point where we can have other alternative fuels going forward. And then we've got to look at alternative sources of energy, wind and solar and fuels that are being dreamed up in some teenager's garage today.
Congressman, a lot of major debates and very important ones to come very soon. Thank you, sir, for your time with us today.
Well, it's great to visit with you, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you, sir, as do we. Texas Republican Congressman Bill Flores represents his state's 17th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.